The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today, believe it or not, we are at May 12, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Also, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. That's our good friend Steven Santangelo, who's on this afternoon. Go out to Primal Creations at AOL.com, Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO 75. And this ushers us right into the big contest here. We're doing a thing here to win the 8X Club. And anybody that have never seen it, you go out to motivationandmuscle.com/club. You can enter into this contest. That's Donnie G. Fardino, who's a regular on here once a month, too. We're going to close it out on May 19th, and on the 21st, we will pick the winner, and you're going to walk away with a $240 club. All you got to do is go out there, put in your first name, your email address, submit the entry, and away you go. And I'm just going to give you four quick facts on this club in case you're not familiar with it. It's adjustable, and the one club has weight settings from 3.5 to 25 pounds. And just to let you know a little bit in here, Donnie's working on getting it up to 50 because he was on last week and we talked all about it. It's perfect for both two-hand and one-handed club exercises. It's great for rehab and heavy rotational power training. And there's four videos down below that you can watch. It's going to give you a lot of information, and you know you can make the decision. So go out to motivationmuscle.com/club. Fill it in, and I wish you all the best of luck. And whether you're on the show or not, you win it, you come on the show with Donnie and I, and we'll do a three-way conversation. That'll be quite interesting. Also, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, it's a free ebook on Fiorello Barbell Co. As I always say, commit, take action. And the two biggest products I have to date is Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. That's out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Well, today we got a good friend of the show. We're working it out. We want to get Bud Jeffries on here every month, and we got him today. And let me give you a little information on Bud before we start. I got to pull this up here. Okay. Bud's a strength coach, an author, a motivational speaker. He's a minister, business owner, and one of only a handful of professional performing strongmen on tour in the USA. If you've seen, I know he hasn't done a lot this year. He was telling me he cooled it down, but in 15, he was all over the damn world, and that's a great thing, educating younger people and getting into this great, great thing we call, a lot of people call it different names, but I like just calling it professional strength, power, whatever you want to call it. And today, we're going to talk about isometrics, which is one of my favorites. And if you've been out on Facebook, Bud's doing some pretty unique stuff, especially I like the stone when he's pushing it right up against the power rack above him. Bud, welcome to the show. Glad to have you back. And anything I missed with a bio, you're free to give it out, and we'll start the show.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Glad to be here. And, you know, you covered a lot of it, man.
I tried.
And if they're listening to this show, they know me already, man.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting. You've done a lot of – well, how am I going to put it? Risk-taking stuff, interesting stuff. You think things out. You pay homage to, well, especially Paul Anderson. I know he's a big influence, and I'll say a hero to you because he is to me too. Isometrics. I mean, I've got a lot of your material. You've covered a lot of it. I like the newer stuff you've thrown in. Give us what is an isometric before we go on any further. For anybody that's not familiar with them, and we've got a lot of younger kids, well, how do you define isometric, Bud?
Well, simple definition is a non-moving exercise. So all exercise that we think of has a movement component, and meaning that you're, you know, you're squatting, you're pushing, you're pulling, or whatever, you're moving the bar. Now, there, in an isometric, you are pushing or pulling or resisting a resistance or your body weight or whatever that will not move, or you are not allowing it to move. Yep. Now, that's the simple definition, but within that, there are hundreds of ways to do things, especially when you start to break up what we call, okay, a basic isometric, which would be they're what they call an overcoming isometric, which is you're actively pushing something that will not move, but you're trying to move it, okay, or a passive or resisting isometric, okay, which is where you are holding something and trying not to allow it to move. You're not necessarily pushing it up, but you're not allowing it to go down, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yep.
then you've got what York used to term as functional isometrics, okay, which is an isometric against a weighted load. And that would be a weighted load that you are generally attempting to push through. That's an overcoming isometric done with a weighted load.
Yeah.
Okay. So back in the day, in the 60s, when York and the York Barbell Club, they were really pushing this. So I think they did an awesome job, and this is, by the way, a technique that's hundreds of years old, okay? And it's not only is it hundreds of years old, there are most of the movements your body makes, even in a moving exercise, a huge portion of your body is creating an isometric contraction, okay?
Correct.
In other words, when you squat, okay, the prime movers, actual movement areas of your body is the knee and hip joint. With and depending on how far you lean or what the deal is, your spine as well. But the majority of the rest of your body is contracting and not allowing movement to happen. Hence, you can hold the posture squat. And almost all of the movements that you do, the big part of the supporting muscles of your body are already firing isometrically.
Yep.
So you're doing this already, whether you know it or not. Okay. This is just a pointed, specific set of them. So they've been for hundreds of years. They're huge in martial arts from all over the world. If you ever watch people do like Sanshin Karate, or they have a very specific set of very tense movements, very moving against like an immovable object. They'll push against each other, that kind of thing. Kung Fu does that a lot. Grappling has a huge isometric component. All fighting movements have that isometric component, because you're literally pushing against something that won't move. You're pushing against another body that's resisting you, or that kind of thing. And actually, you want to know why wrestlers get so stupid strong? It's actually the isometric work from wrestling has much more than the other physical training that they do. Now wrestlers are notorious also as being, you know, phenomenal, huge training guys that you want to train with some really tough guys, train with a bunch of wrestlers.
Oh yeah.
But they're monsters. They'll murder you.
But I wish I remembered the gentleman's name. He used to train with you years ago, and I can remember you had him on a partial program, and I think you were talking about him wrestling with somebody, guys that were much bigger than him, and he was still throwing them around, and I don't remember his name. And I think he was from Florida. Do you remember who that was?
I think you're talking about it was an example that I've given actually a bunch of times, because it was so poignant. It's a kid I trained. His name was Michael Reeder.
That's him.
He trained with me for a long time. You know, he was a skinny kid when he started, and like 148 pounds. By the way, he was 147 pounds of stomach when he, and
oh,
I don't mean
really?
That in a fat way. Oh my God. I mean, like he could eat you under the table. He was the skinniest little guy you've ever seen. And he, you got to remember, this is back when I was 400 pounds and trying to squat 1,000 pounds and pushing as hard and heavy as I could or whatever. So at that time, you know, I could eat like a pro. Well, me and this kid one day after squat, me and this little 150 pound kid ate 10 pounds of chicken tenders together.
Oh my God, man!
It was.
Did you have to carry? You didn't have to carry him out there, out of there?
No, man. He about had to carry me out, dude. It was. I think I might have tapped out first.
Holy shit, man! That's unreal.
He got thrown out of a bunch of all-you-can-eat places, like off out of a. They have all-you-can-eat barbecue places down here where you can just get like chicken or beef or whatever and just keep bringing it to you. Dude, me and this kid, they actually told us one day, we got no more chicken. You got to go.
Oh, that's awesome, man. You ate them right out of house,
hey,
man.
Just
that's
destroyed them, dude. We were anyway. Okay, so and that's actually kind of a perfect example of this. Okay, so
yeah.
Here's what I mean, and let me tell that story. The kid, I took him to a martial arts seminar because he trained with me all the time, and I was kind of in martial arts, and he really wasn't. So he gets in, and we're doing an exercise where you essentially grab each other's hand like a handshake.
Okay.
Okay. And you try to push and pull the other guy around. So one mm-hmm. partner goes, one guy goes, and then the other guy kind of resists or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he gets in with these martial arts guys, okay? And they're – now, I'm the big guy in the room, obviously. There's another big guy,
yep.
too. But most everybody there is about Michael's size, which he was about 185 pounds at the time.
Yep.
Okay? And he gets in with guys that are like 35 and 40, and they've been doing martial arts a long time. And everybody there – and this is not in any way to put this training down – okay, it
yep.
just illustrates the difference in what I'm about to talk about. Okay, so these guys all did martial type training, lots of body weight stuff, but none
yep.
of them are really heavy lifters. Okay, so
yep.
they've got tons of experience on Michael. No, but Michael's been training with me for like about three years at this time. You know, he's gone from like a 250 pound squat to about almost a 500 pound squat. And
yes.
here's where he's really gifted in the grip and also in pulling and that kind of thing. So we've been working a lot of heavy stone carries, which has a huge isometric component, a lot of heavy
yep.
farmer's walks,
yep.
which also isometric component at the time. So dude grabs Michael's hand, goes to pull him around, yanking him around. Nothing's happening. Michael's just standing there like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And they're like, all right, now it's your turn. So Michael then clamps down with this big old paw. Like,
yep.
You can see the guy's face like when
yep.
Michael squeezes his hand. And then he just goes to dragging this guy all around. He's like, am I supposed to be doing this right? Like he just starts dragging the guy around the room like it's not even a thing.
That's beautiful.
The guy don't exist. And here's what I mean. Michael was so much stronger than this guy from a core strength perspective because of the
yep.
massive loads with huge isometric components, because that's what
yep.
they're training there, okay,
yep.
To his core and all the other stuff that the other guy didn't have. Not that the other
yep.
guy wasn't in shape. The other guy was in phenomenal shape. He could do awesome stuff. But he wasn't walking around using his whole body to stabilize
yep.
500 or 600 pounds while he was carrying it around. Okay?
Yep.
And then that played out the difference there in an exercise that really does test your isometric strength. How well can
yep.
you resist being moved? Well, pretty doggone good if you can stand
yeah.
up 600 pounds and walk around with it.
Yep.
And
right.
how well can you move another opponent? Pretty doggone good when that opponent weighs 185 pounds and you can carry around 500 or 600 pounds.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like too much at that point, you know?
That's right. It's not that big a deal.
Nope.
So now, okay, let me jump back to where I was there.
Yeah, okay.
That story illustrates that kind of thing because that's a lot
yep.
of the same kind of training that we were doing. And that's
absolutely.
The power here that people have forgotten. They've kind of forgotten it for this reason, okay? So we did – so York in the 60s came out with a lot of isometric training, and they were selling – that was York's whole purpose was to sell barbells.
Absolutely.
And they sold some awesome stuff, had made some of the greatest barbells that ever were.
Yep.
But they started to sell isometric stuff, and which is kind of a tough thing. There's really not a lot you can, you're selling a movement – you're selling non-movement. You
right.
know what I'm saying? It's not like you can tell. So what they did is created a small power rack to use, and they were testing it with their lifters and getting phenomenal results.
Yep.
But they started to push they started to sell booklets that would work the old, and a lot of people have seen this if you're old enough to have seen any booklets or whatever. They were selling the basic isometric component booklets or whatever, which had you doing stuff like pushing into doorways
yep.
and, you know, and pushing against like the rafters of a house. And there's nothing wrong with that. It will help you get strong, but
mm-hmm.
it will not replace lifting of weight, or it will not replace what the actual functional isometrics does, which is the isometrics against load.
Yep.
Okay. It just won't do it. Now, it'll help you. It will, because it does some amazing things. One of the huge things that isometrics does, especially that type of non-loaded but overcoming isometrics. So think about it like this. All right, I'm sitting actually under one of my I'm sitting in a barn out here where I was actually outside training before I started talking to Eric. Got rafters above
yep.
my head, and they're
yep.
about at the height of for me to stand up, and they're almost at lockout of a military press, and I can push up against them like I'm trying to literally push the roof off the barn. Okay.
Right.
Now there's no load. It's just me pushing against an object that's not going to move. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what that actually will do for you is it will turn your nerves on in a
mm-hmm.
way that most people have never had. And I can clearly
right.
demonstrate this with people, and we've demonstrated it 100 times in seminars and stuff like that. I can have you do that exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I can have you do this. Take your, you know, maybe not your max, but a decent weight, and push and do a military press with it. And do it
right.
as quickly as you can. And then do an isometric like I was just talking about. Push as hard as you can for 5 or 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Then rest for a minute or so until the fatigue is out, and then do that military press again, and your speed will be visibly doubled.
Yep.
In about a minute. Because
yep.
before, your nerves were maybe they were warmed up, but they're not firing at 100%. But that isometric
right.
component, where that isometric exercise where you push and really generate 100% power, even though it
mm-hmm.
doesn't move, you've created that absolute contraction. And what in doing that, that wakes your nerves up, and your speed rocket.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yep.
So you're doing all this, and it does help. But it is not as powerful as the loaded isometric stuff, which is why that if you follow me on Facebook or if you see me on Instagram
yep.
or any of this I'm doing right now, I'm
yep.
really heavily concentrating on it. It's not that I don't work the other isometric things. I absolutely do those too. And they have true value because you can do positions with non-loaded isometrics that you cannot duplicate with load.
Right.
Okay. So in other words, you can get into the craziest possible position you can think of, like a grappler would be in, or anything you can think of, just, you know, from any crazy scenario you can come up with, and you can get into these
mm-hmm.
wild positions, and you can find something to push against or pull against, or like an example of a non-loaded isometric that is truly very useful is steel bending.
Yeah.
So, that's a huge technique. Almost all the steel benders I know do at least a little bit of isometrics, because even if they don't purposely do it, they try to bend a piece of steel that won't bend.
Right.
And they hammer it as hard as they can for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever, until they get get ready to quit.
Yep.
And then maybe they go back to one that's a little bit lighter, and all of a sudden they're crushing it. Or they spend a week
yep.
or two hammering those isometrics, and it doesn't move. All of a sudden, it does move.
Yep.
And you have gotten stronger, and you're bending a piece you couldn't bend that you used to do isometrics with. And now you're actually moving it. And that's sort of the whole point to all of this is at one point I couldn't move it. Now I can move it.
Yeah.
So you're
yep.
selling this thing, and it was all cool. Okay. Except for the fact that two things happened. Okay. From a marketing standpoint, they sold the idea that if you just pushed against door frames or any of that kind of thing, you would be as strong as any of the weightlifters in
yeah.
the world. And
yep.
that's not going to happen. Okay.
Nope.
Because you actually have to have load as well. Okay.
Yep.
And then here's the other thing that happened. Now they were doing some awesome stuff with actual loaded work. Their functional isometrics were brilliant. Okay. Now that's done by setting up a power rack, and that's actually what the double bars in a power rack are for.
Yep.
Okay. If your power rack has two sets of bars, it should have two sets of bars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They are not because you need double safety. You're not going to bust through one bar and hopefully the second.
No way.
Point. Okay.
Yep.
The point is
yep.
for you to set a position that you wanted to push against and put
yep.
a barbell or whatever in that rack and push
yep.
off one pin and then drive the barbell into the second pin.
Yep.
So with load in your hands or on your back or whatever, however you're doing it, you can push with that load and then drive into that pin for whatever time period or for whatever you're going to do, attempting
right.
to not only actually lift the load, but actually push through what you're doing. So you get loaded
mm-hmm.
lift as well as isometric, as well as absolute 100% top end isometric contraction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was phenomenal. They were making phenomenal strength gains and doing it very quickly because isometrics is actually cool from a training perspective.
Yep.
So here's what I mean by that. If you hold an isometric contraction for 30 seconds, okay, which is brutal, especially a hard, heavy one. You've actually done more work by an exponential amount than
yep.
in most normal sets. Okay.
Yep.
And here's why. Almost every lift that you do, and depending on which style, it's even more this way, but it's still the same. Okay. if you watch a power lift or bench press, he brings the bar down, it's slow and controlled, and then he slams it to the top as fast as possible. Okay?
Right.
It's an explosive movement. If you watch a bodybuilder bench press, usually it's a slow, controlled movement to the bottom, and then it's a fairly controlled movement to the top. Okay?
Yep.
Even in those, both of those, momentum plays part of the game. Okay? So, and you'll yes. notice this until you try to get in the positions, and you really want to find out where the weakness is in your strength. Start experimenting with these, because you will, what you're doing is you're examining the moments of your lift individually versus looking at a whole lift. Okay.
Yep.
So I know that when I come off the bottom of a squat, I'm very strong, but just mm-hmm. as an example, maybe 6 inches in to coming up is a weak spot. And then if I get through that weak spot, then I, not, you know, your sticking point, then you can go on up from
yep.
there. Okay. You want to find out where that is. To get in a power rack and start working the individual positions every couple of inches all the way up. And you'll find that, holy crap, I can come out of the bottom with some nasty weight. And in the middle here,
oh, yeah.
I a weak duck. I feel like yep. a, you know, I feel like a
yeah.
duck out of water. I feel, because yep. here's what's happening in your normal lift. You're coming off the bottom, you're pushing through to the top, and momentum is actually riding you through.
Yep.
Thing, which is fine. Okay. A lot of people are going to say, oh my God, we don't want no momentum in our lifting. That's baloney. Momentum is
yeah.
part of life. You do want momentum in a power-based lift. Okay. You want
yep.
to, when you create all the tension you can create and then explode from the bottom, top, whatever you're going to do, you want to, you know, do it like you're going to throw the barbell instead of just standing there for the
exactly.
heaviest possible weight you can lift. You will
yep.
never, okay. You may see a guy, you know, pull a max deadlift and it may be slow. He's not trying to be slow.
Exactly.
It just is. It's just because the weight is grinding at that point because it's so heavy. But he's not trying to be slow. Okay, that's not on
yeah.
purpose. You are, and here's what I mean by that. There's so much momentum that plays into all, no matter what kind of style you lift, that you don't even know it's there until you start doing things that don't move. And you
yep.
find in little positions that, holy crap, I'm so strong in one position and so weak in another. And that's actually
yep.
what really attracted to me this is I got started to experiment with it and I found, you know, that, I mean, my whole thing is, one of my whole things is I don't want to be weak anywhere. I don't
yeah.
want any body part to be weak. I don't want any movement to be weak. I don't want any position to be weak, whether it's a basic lifting position or whether it's beyond all that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in the, you know, the realities of life where you're not in normal fixed positions, where you're in unusual positions like odd object lifting or like wrestling
yeah.
or whatever it would be. I want to be strong in every bit of those. And that this kind of training covers that immensely. So,
yeah.
Now the other thing that I'm saying, I'm running the conversation here, man, but I'll let you talk.
That's all right. I'm familiar with it all. It's
so,
fine.
Here's the thing. Now, here's the other thing that happened at the exact time. At the exact time York started doing this, them cats also started experimenting with Dianabol.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yep.
And what happened is, everybody found out about that after a while, and the baby got
yep.
thrown out with bathwater. They got said, okay,
yep.
these guys are making these phenomenal gains, and you know they were dominating Olympic lifting in America at the time, and they
mm-hmm.
were competitive in the world scene at the time. But then everybody found out that they were the first. They were not the first. They were some of the first lifters in America to start experimenting with real steroids and starting
yep.
to go from there. And because that happened around the same time, a truly productive technique got thrown out with the fact that, oh, well, they were using roids. It didn't matter what they were doing.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And because they had overblown the sales pitch for one small part of it. But there are
yep.
studies. In fact, I saw a post yesterday. I actually copied it, and I'm going to repost it on my website probably, which I never do. But I did this because one of the companies that does work with Isometrics posted an article that had 25 different scientific studies that found benefit for isometric training.
Absolutely.
And if you ever do it for real and do it with somebody who knows what they're doing, you'll
yep.
be absolutely shocked about what's
you'll
going on.
You'll be unstoppable.
Absolutely.
Hey, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, back in the York days, I mean, Bill March was the poster boy for the, you know, the power rack and everything. And I mean, he was a phenomenal lifter. And I've read all kinds of things with the D ball with him and everything. I'll tell you what. Drugs to me, that's a double-edged sword. I think where we come from, you don't want to be taking the stuff, et cetera, et cetera. They were taking it. I mean, I don't know. How much did that really affect Bill March? I don't know. Bill March was an exceptional lifter. Benarski, all those guys, you know?
It's the same as today, okay? I don't believe in it personally, but I'm not condemning people. You know what? Some of the nicest human beings I know.
Yep. Yep.
Use some roids, okay?
Yeah.
Now,
yep.
Some of the scummiest human beings I know use them too, and it flips both ways. And some of the nicest people I know don't use roids, and some of the crappiest people I know don't use them either. So that's not really the morality of that issue is nowhere near what we want to make it into that kind of thing.
No way.
And here's the reality of it. I mean, let's just be flat honest. Okay. It does make a huge difference. It is a much cloudier issue than most people want to say.
Yep.
At the same time, if you did take it all 100% away, most of your top level lifters would still be the same guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because roid or no roid, most of those cats are training so hard on a level, and most of them were training hard on a level before they ever started to use a steroid.
Absolutely.
They would be the same guy no matter what. It's just happens to the user. There's no.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, that's a shame because that power rack got lost, you know, in the shuffle with the drug use they were all, you know, talking about. We've talked about power racks before. I mean, other than the barbell, I can't think of anything better than a power rack because, I mean, I train alone. You train alone. You need not only the safety, but I'll tell you what, it's a hell of a lot of fun to go in there and bust weight off rods, man. I mean, people don't know what they're missing if they don't go out and try this. But once again, this is very hard, rugged work, and you want to be a guy that can't be moved and a guy that can move anyone, and you can explode. Because what I find, and I want your comment on this, what I find, Bud, is this. You know, you were talking about the pushing, and all of a sudden you go back to the lift and you just pop it. Yeah, there's no doubt about the neuron connections and all that, but what I find it feels to me is it loads the muscle big time. And when you get under something, when you're loaded up, bang, off it goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I love about it. And not only that, I mean, I'm doing some stuff right now. John McKean and I are doing some stuff together where I'm doing a tri-quad dead stop squat. And basically same premise. But you don't have your arms behind you. You're pushing off the middle of your thighs. That's a very intense lift. Last night I hit 404 with it pretty easy. And I'm going to start doing isometrics with that as soon as I hit 500 with it. The balance of trying to balance a bar on your back with no arms, not holding any part of the bar, and you can't stand up fully with it or it's going to roll off your traps.
Mm-hmm.
This has been one of the best dead stop things I've ever gotten involved in. The best. Well, you know, and the reason why I wanted to do this, you know, I've had some shoulder issues on and off, and I've never had shoulder problems. And what was happening is the first few sets were kind of tight when you'd put that arm behind your head. And I was like, you know, I don't want to keep screwing around with this. Nothing came up with an MRI, and I don't know if it's scar tissue or what now, and I got to have it looked at again. But when I went to that tri-quad, man, oh, man, dude, you talk about not only inspiring, you want to talk about handling some monster weight, and now I'm going to do the same thing I did with when I had my arms behind me where, you know, I'll set the rods 2 to 4 to 6 inches above, get up as high as I can with it, pin it, and see what happens. So between that, stone carries and the 55-gallon drums and working my neck, that's pretty much what I'm doing now. And last night, like I told you, I think before we came on air, I've discovered now how to bench press 55-gallon barrels with weight rocking all over through it. And I personally believe, and I'm going to prove it if I can do it, I'm going to build, you know, training over 20 years now, I'm going to produce bigger, thicker ligaments and tendons and bone and musculature too, because you know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to do that old experiment Mike Brown used to talk about. I'm going to do the can of coconut milk, equal amounts of unsweetened protein or pineapple juice,
mm-hmm.
and a third of a cup of their protein. And mm-hmm. I'm going to see between those 3 to 4 things if I could smash 11 pounds on in a month with it.
Interesting. That ought to be.
And I'll tell you this. It's for everybody out there that says, well, you're going to be fat. Yeah, you're going to put some fat on. I'm not worried about it. All right. Coconut milk is a great saturated fat. In case you're all afraid that you're going to have a heart attack, that's the bullshit you hear from the media, because all these jack-offs are loaded on grains all the time. So I don't even want to get in that, but that's going to be the experiment I'm going to be doing in June.
Right.
Now that I know where I want to go, look at what could be better. I mean, you're talking about isometrics, okay, with the squat. You're talking about carrying a steel stone 95 feet up and back. You're talking about now playing around with doing a hand thigh deadlift and now a bench with it. And I got a couple other things I'm experimenting with, dumbbells and shit to go with it. You know something, man? Why aren't more people doing it? I'll pose that question to you.
Well, I don't, you know, who knows, man? Because you know what? Because the training world is like a high school, okay?
Yep.
The cool
yep.
things to do are rule the day, and most people have no knowledge of the history of anything that they do, no knowledge
yep.
of the reality of training. They think they know because they read a magazine one time while they
yep.
were sitting at the
yep.
beauty salon getting their nails done, and there was a men's
fit.
And they know
yep.
they think they know everything there is to know about. I get crap about this all the time because, I mean, you watch my stuff. I'm all
yeah.
over the place, and I'm experimenting
yeah.
with stuff that's way that there isn't even a box to think about.
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
But and what it is that that stuff is so far out of their possible realm of thought, they can't
yep.
give it any validity. Why would you do this? This is stupid. It's not squats
yeah.
the way I saw the guy in Men's Fitness do it, and therefore it's not the right way. You know, listen, Junior. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to go
yeah.
with the human body. If you study the volume of history of physical training, there's
yep.
hundreds and thousands of things to try. And
oh, yeah.
that's what I like to do. I just want to play with all of those. And that, you know that, and solving that problem is out of the question. Because, and here's the thing with that, okay?
Yeah.
I'm kind of past all that, number one, because, dude, haters. You know what? I do stuff now. I'm doing stuff just purposely to fire them up. I'm doing stuff because I want them talking. Because every time they talk, it works for me.
Yeah.
So, you know,
people are going to come to see you. Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
And
yep.
the other thing about that is, everybody isn't cut out to explore
yeah.
the top end of strength.
Nope.
So I'm not even attempting to convince the whole world to come into this. I wish more people would, because they could see the true benefit to the, both their physical life, their health, to the mental side of their life and all the things that involved with that. But reality is, it's like anything else in the world. Everybody ain't cut out to do absolutely everything. And
absolutely.
You don't have to do it my way. And I, you know what? I hope everybody on the planet gets exercise and gets healthy, but everybody ain't gonna play the game I want to play. You know what
no.
I'm saying? Everybody ain't gonna do
no.
Okay. Last night I did and you were talking about current training, so this is what I did
yeah.
last night.
Yeah.
And with is combining those isometrics into supersets with
yep.
other moving exercises, which has some
yep.
wild benefits. So all right, I did one last night where it's actually a circuit, and so I did a standing overhead hold. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so I'm doing
mm-hmm.
a standing lockout hold. So I'm lifting the bar maybe 2 inches at the top end of the power rack, standing
yep.
up. Okay.
Yep.
I held 520 pounds for about 10 seconds.
Yep, I saw that.
And dropped right down and did a
yep.
315 seated press, with a thick bar. Okay,
yep.
coming off the pin in the rack, and then jumped
yep.
off from there and did a couple of forward rolls, a little bit of light tumbling. Okay.
Yep.
From there and did dumbbell snatches. So what am I training with this, and what's the whole point to all this? I'm training an absolutely bizarrely powerful isometric component. We're talking about the old York lifters. John Grimmick was famous for doing this movement.
Sure.
That overhead hold. Because
yep.
let me tell you something. You want to activate everything from your toes to your fingertips, from the,
oh, yeah.
the top of your head to the bottom of your toes, try that movement.
As I recall, Grimmick did 1,000 at that part,
yeah.
at that lockout. That's
insane,
man.
Amount. I mean, I've been in the sixes and heavier doing that.
They
try to work up from there. Actually, now a lot of the experiments I'm doing, I'm going heavy, but I'm not
yep.
going as heavy as I possibly could. I want to hold it
right. Right.
for longer periods of time.
But you've always been an isometric guy. I can remember from the beginning. You're always doing stuff like that.
I'm gonna keep doing it and gonna do. And you know what? I found some totally unique ways that are paying off in ways that I didn't think were possible. Now, you know what I'm saying? And like, I found one exercise I'm really excited about, and then just the whole concept of this. And I'll tell you what: when you do that isometric, you
everything firing. You've got 100% muscle contraction. You've got extremely dense training. So you've got, you know, locked down long. And I've been leaning toward longer contractions than the old way of doing it.
Yeah.
The old way of doing
yep.
it was short, intense contractions. I've been
yep.
leaning toward longer contractions because, number one, they're tougher. They don't require quite as much load. But I feel like actually their muscle growth factor is better because you're getting
yeah.
you're essentially getting a massive volume of work done in 60 seconds.
Yep. And not only that, you're putting your mind through some torture
brutal,
right. You're learning how to not only take pain but dish it back out, and that's really important when we're talking about anything in life. And I love isometrics. I love what I'm doing now, and I don't even want to call it an odd lift in some ways, but you know, this is where I think people get lost in the shuffle totally. Too many people would be like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get anything from it, or I'm going to get injured, or I'm not going to lift that stone and walk it for distance because it doesn't do anything. In the same way, well, are you insane? Why would you pick barrels up? All right, well, I got news for you. If you give this stuff a try and you're sincerely interested in getting big and strong, you can't go wrong with any of this stuff. The problem is, you got a lot of guys that want to do bodybuilding, and if you want to do that, fine, but don't complain if you're weak as a friggin', you know, baby bird, you know what I mean?
Well, you know what, whatever, a lot of the body, you can do bodybuilding, you don't have to be, it's just all
yeah.
how you train. In fact,
yep.
this technique is like I actually just had a conversation with a couple of bodybuilders 2 days ago. They were super intrigued about this because of the muscle pump that it gained. So, like,
okay.
I'll give you one that would be perfect for growth that I've been doing lately, as well
yep.
as for if you wanted to go. So, say that's your – I really want to grow some muscle. I want to,
yeah.
you know, okay. So, I set up a bench press with a power rack or, like, a floor press,
yep.
any kind of a bench press, doesn't matter what kind, and
yep.
set it up in the middle of the range so I can push off one pin, push into a second pin, and I put a moderate
yep.
load, maybe 225 or whatever,
yeah, perfect.
On the bar. And I push from
yep.
one pin into the second pin, hold it right
yep.
there, and I push as hard as I can for 30
yep.
seconds. Hard
yep.
as I can for 30
yep.
seconds. And so by the end of that 30 seconds, even if I could hold the weight longer, I probably can actually just hold it there longer, but not actually
yep.
driving longer.
Yep.
So you should be so exhausted by the end of that 30 seconds by the effort you've created that by the end of 30 seconds, you should be barely – the bar should be teetering around. You should barely be able to touch
right.
it, and you should fall back
right.
into it. And here's the thing
yep.
that's totally safe. The likelihood you're going to hurt anything with doing something like this is super low.
Right.
So from there, I jump up right there and I grab a pair of dumbbells and I either just do a flat or incline, a combination
yep.
of flies and dumbbell bench presses.
Yep.
So what have I done? I've created a massive load to the chest that's extremely
oh, yeah.
fatigued, and then jumped up and pushed it further by doing a moving exercise. Now the isometric thing, one of the things that it really is a blow up here, and you want to talk about a pump, here's the deal. Okay. When you do an isometric, especially a long-term lockdown one, you're occluding blood flow. You're stopping blood flow at its top end. It's not the same
yep.
as the, you know, but what you're getting is a super compensation after. So the pump from an isometric, now you'll get a burn during an isometric, but you don't get the muscle pump until you let up.
Right.
Okay. You get some, you know, obviously you're not completely stopping blood flow, but you're stopping a lot of it. And then when you let up, though, that's when you get all this blood flow coming in. And then when you jump up and throw that in with a moving exercise,
yep.
well, now you just doubled all of that. Now you got the normal pump that you would have gotten from that moving exercise along with the extra pump that you would have gotten from the isometric, from the compensation that's happening as soon as the blood flow is allowed to move back in.
Yeah.
Plus you're pushing
and you know,
mind and body further, and you've gotten stronger.
And you know what the greatest thing is? You don't have to do multiple sets when you're training like that.
Mm.
You know, yeah. I mean – anybody that's
and,
out trying
okay.
to
multiple
yeah.
about the third or fourth set's going to start to be horrifying.
Yeah, you're done at that point. You know, that's what people understand. That's what John and I have been doing with a lot of stuff now. You know, you can go in there and hammer something heavy, and I, you know, he's talking right now. He's doing stuff where he's out of the gym in 10 minutes after his workout, and I know a lot of stuff he's doing. It's amazing, this notion that you have to train for hours on top of hours. You want to know why you can't get anywhere? Well, that's the reason why you can't. You do something that you're talking about, I do here, and you don't need a ton of it, and you can build a ton of size, mental strength, physical strength. What's better than this? The problem is, Bud, there's very few people that do this, and the educated mind sometimes can make you very stupid. And they, you know, you're talking haters and people are like, well, why would you do that? And I get that with a lot of stuff here. It's like, well, if you want the zenith of strength, this is the way to get it. But
absolutely.
And you know something, like you, we got this passion for what we do. A lot of people don't have passion, man. You know, it's different. But I'll tell you what, I think this is the greatest thing you could ever do to your body. That power rack, for anybody that doesn't have one, go invest in one. I'm serious. I don't care if you got to lag it through your backyard. Go get one, because you can't go wrong on it. I know we're at time now. When you come back in June, if you want to go back to this, like an isometrics part two, we can do that. There's so much more to learn about this. So summarize anything you want. Give out your information. Let me give mine. If you'd hang on the line for a moment, please, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. You can find us. First of all, you were talking about quick training. Okay. The circuit I told you about that I did last night, I did 10 rounds of that in 15 minutes. That was my entire training last night.
It's unreal, man.
And smoked and sweat pouring from every pore of the body and breathing like a freight train and got my endurance and flexibility, mobility, strength, and muscle contraction all trained all at one time. You can find me at www.anunconventionallife.com. You can find me on Facebook under my name, on Instagram under my name, and on Twitter under my name. And you can come look at all our stuff. We got a brand new DVD on isometric supersets. We got another one coming up. This is probably where I'll pick up next time on the isometrics. We got another one coming up on isometrics for fighters.
Sweet.
Which I'm pretty excited about. We got some really unique exercises that'll just destroy your core, and from unconventional positions, stuff people have never seen before. It's going to be really exciting, and I look forward to talking to you guys soon. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot, bud. I appreciate it. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Steven Santangelo's Athlete's Choice. You can contact Steven at primalcreations@aol.com. And Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. Don't forget the big contest to win an 8X club. Here's what you got to do. Just go out to motivationmuscle.com/club, put your name in and your email address, and you got a shot of winning that club that's valued at $240, and you'll come on with Donnie and I, and we'll do a Motivation Muscle podcast with you, which will be a lot of fun. So go out there, fill it in. You've got till the 19th of this month. On the 21st, we will draw the lucky winner. Also, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle at FiorellaBarbellCo.com, and our two biggest products, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. Go out to both websites. Check them out. There's plenty of new stuff happening, and there's going to be plenty more down the road. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. Let's see. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what everybody's given us, and I thank you for that. Also, if there's a show you'd like Bud and I to do, FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them a little inspiration. You heard it today. Power rack, partials. Well, we didn't even get into even partials, but isometrics, and it is a partial. Whatever part of the rack you're weak in, you use, obviously. But, you know, we're talking about a lot of unorthodox things here, but they work. That's sound advice. So never be afraid to give somebody your passion, what you think about, and what you're doing, your experience with it. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And as we always say, if you're going to go out and lift today, bend, push, pull, whatever you're going to do. Press, we love all that stuff. And if you're going to get on any stones today, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone says, in blood red domination, we are domination. We don't follow the path, we clear cut it. And as I say now on everything, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Don't walk around it, go through it. And as I always say, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to the show from the very beginning, and who's been a guest on here, when I listen to your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. That's one of the nicest things anybody said to me, and we are going to be saying that till the day we sign off 30 years from now. So when we're all old, man, and we're all still together, this is going to be good stuff. Bud Jeffries, thanks for being on, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good to have you. So for Bud Jeffries, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and tell 100 of your friends. If you don't, we're coming for you anyways. Have a great week, everybody, and get out there and do some isometrics. Have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.